invite you to open your Bibles at Mark chapter 15. As we continue the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been over these past Lord's days thinking about the Lord Jesus. We saw how he was from eternity, always has been. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost has been from all eternity. This is clear in the scriptures as we read it. And how God sent him into this world, he was born of a virgin. He was pure. Remember how God promised Satan in the Garden of Eden that he would send a Savior, a Messiah. And that Messiah would bruise his head. And that he, Satan, would bruise his heel. And it would be through the seed of a woman. And here we have the childbirth here, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was born. For he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Man had no part in the birth of Christ. The Lord Jesus was of both God and man. And because of that, he lived a sinless life. He was pure and he was spotless. And then we look at his sufferings, both spiritual suffering and his bodily suffering. He suffered, yes, from the full foundation of the world. He knew that because of the sin of man in the Garden of Eden, God knew that there had to be a sacrifice for sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ would be that sacrifice. As we read in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, he was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And then we looked last Lord's Day at his bodily suffering and his death, and how he died on the cross in Calvary, shed his precious blood for sinners such as we, shed it for his people. Oh, what a mighty and wonderful sacrifice that was. God the Father turned his back on his only dear Son. Think of those last 3 hours on the cross. Then he cried, "It is finished. Into thy hands I commend my spirit." Oh, how wonderful salvation that was for the sinner. All the sufferings, both spiritually and bodily, ceased. He didn't suffer anymore. And we're going to continue on today, and we'll think of the burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The burial is very important, and sometimes we seem to overlook it. But let us just take time and think about the burial of Christ and how it is connected with the resurrection. We will see that Pilate made sure that the Lord Jesus was dead. He asked the soldiers. He couldn't believe it, that he had died so quickly. But it was because prophecy had to be fulfilled. Bone of him was not broken. Remember that legs of the two thieves were broken, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, he was already dead. Then one of the soldiers put a spear into his side, and out flowed blood and water. And then what happened was, you see, the body had to come down from the cross, where the bodies of the two thieves, there was a place for burial there. But there was one man, Joseph of Arimathea, he would not want the Lord Jesus Christ to be buried in such a place. So he went and he asked Pilate for the body of Christ. Some of the Gospels said he begged Pilate. He really meant it. He went in boldly before of Pilate. He wanted the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we look at Joseph of Arimathea. He was a man of authority, and I'm sure very well known. But he was a secret disciple. Why? Because the fear of the Jews. And not only did Joseph of Arimathea come to bury the body of Christ, but there was another man called Nicodemus. And we all know about Nicodemus. We read about him three times in the Gospel of John. We remember most of all in John chapter 3 how he came to Jesus by night. And what would that make him? That would make him a secret disciple. And what did they do? They came and they took the body of Christ and put myrrh and aloes and all the ointment, the way of the Jewish people would bury their dead. They wrapped them up in linen and there they buried him. Two secret disciples. Some people would condemn secret disciples. Well, I would not condemn secret disciples. That means plain. We know that there's many would stand and go through battles for Christ, for God, even today. And they would come and they would be at the forefront, warning people and preaching and looking after churches and all sorts of things. That is good. That is tremendous. We need people like that. The church will not thrive. And how can people hear the gospel if the people don't proclaim it? It's good to be open and preach the word of God. But we are all different. We've all different characteristics. Everybody thinks different, we thought. And some people are fearful. Now some maybe Christians today are being persecuted. You could call them secret disciples. There's so many million Christians in India, and yet they're in wee rooms in secrecy. And then there's maybe other Christians, and they're just because the way they are, their personality, they can't go out to meet people. But what do they do? They may be in their home, pray for the Lord's work, pray for souls to be saved, pray for missionaries that the Lord would bless them. Others would give their money and all their substance, and nobody knows anything about them. Only God. So always bear in mind the secret disciple. We're all links in the chain. These two secret disciples, God blessed them. These two secret disciples done a work, mighty work for God. Not everybody saw it. But now in God's word, everybody's made known of the work that they had done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Also in the burial of Christ, which was near Calvary, there had to be witnesses. Because in those days they could say anything and people would believe. So there had to be witnesses. And who were the witnesses? But the women again. And all my messages, and even on the Wednesday night, there's always women in the work of God. Praise God for it. Great work for the women. The women do a great work. Even in our churches all around them. And we do praise God for it. I know there's no women preachers in our denomination. But there is other work for them to do. We have women missionaries. And the work is tremendous what they do. And matter of fact, there's more women than men. So these ladies were witnesses. They saw Christ there in the sepulchre and bound. And then what happened? They put a big stone right in front of him. How they done it, I just do not know. But apparently, as we read the scripture, it was a very, very big stone. It was put in front of the opening. And there, they left it. But then you see in the authorities, they thought, well, someone came up with this idea. Do you remember whenever Christ was preaching? He said he would rise the third day. See, these people remembered Christ saying that. But you know, when you look at the disciples, they never understood because it was hid to them. But these people understood this. So what they done was to seal the sepulchre. Seal it well. Not only did they seal that big stone, but to put a watch. And you know, soldiers who keep a watch, they are the best that you can get. They're every bit as important as the ones that go out and fight. We think of there in London, and how the Queen is guarded by the soldiers, and how alert we are, see everything that's going on. Nothing but the best. I would say a pilot put nobody but the best to look after this sepulchre to make sure that the disciples wouldn't come and steal the body at night. Here we were, Jesus Christ dead, Jesus Christ was buried. Now we come to the resurrection of the Lord in Jesus Christ. First of all, we will look at the sepulchre on the Sabbath day. Sabbath day was special to the Jewish people, and they held it. But we'll just look here at the sepulchre. There we see it, the brand new sepulchre near where Christ was crucified. There we see the big stone. You see the word was been sealed. And there was a watch keeping guard. Nobody could get near the sepulchre. Very quiet. It wasn't like the previous day when all the multitude gathered round for the crucifixion of Christ. Very quiet. Then we will look at it, the tomb in the very first day of the week. Now we'll have to get up early. When the Jewish day started and the sun was just coming up, there were three women, Mary, Magdalene, Mary, Mother Joseph, James, and Salome. On high, there went to the tomb, held the sweet spices in their hands to come to anoint the body of Christ. And they were walking along. And what happened in that conversation was, but what about that big stone? We have the spices to go to anoint Christ's body, but what about that massive big stone? Who is going to roll away the stone? That was the conversation. And just let me, for a moment, just think of a question today. And high in front of our minds, there's maybe a great big stone. And we can't go any further. And especially as I look at it in the Lord's work. And how there's so many hindrances for God's people in the Lord's work. There's no doubt about it. We need workers. We need missionaries. We need Sunday school teachers. We need children's workers. We really need ministers. We need our young people to go into the college and to learn. But there's that big stone in front of a lot of our young people today, and for older people. And that's all they see, is a big stone in front of them even starting the work for the Lord. And one of them can be education. Did you ever think of that? And I encourage, and it's nice to see young people here this morning, and I would encourage you all to do well at school. I know it's difficult. I never liked school. I wasn't very good at it. But I encourage you, as I look back, to learn as much as you can. Now listen to the teachers and do as many of the exams as you can do, because you do not know what way the Lord is going to use you. It is good to have education. But then sometimes when you get too much education, you get a big special job, you get plenty of money, and then that can be a stone in front of you. I'm quite happy here. I've got money, I've got a lovely house, a charge of everything. I'm just contented the way I am. And that can come in front of the Christian today. But we are saved to serve. And even if some young people, and if they're listening today, whether in the congregation or in sermon audio, and there will be stones in front of you. If you want to seek the Lord, you want to go into His work and into His service, there will be stones in front of you, hindrances, barricades, some of them very big. You're going to face that. The devil does not want God's people to do His work and to do His service. He wants us just to feel comfortable, just to feel happy. But that's not the way forward for God's work. And even maybe there's other hindrances or big stones in your life. Maybe you're feeling down. Maybe you're feeling sick. And there's a big stone that comes in front of you. And you have a burden for your family. And there always seems to be that big stone comes every time you try to speak to your family. They change the subject. And it's difficult. These big stones can come in front of God's people. Then we'll go back your 3 months. There they are, talking about this big stone, which is old time well, it isn't moving. But they still went on. They didn't stop and start to think. They kept going on. And as they kept going on, they coming up to the sepulchre. You see, God was there before them. And what happened? There was an earthquake. And that earthquake removed the seal of the stone. And then an angel came and rolled the stone away. That's what the scripture tells us. Simple. You don't need to be a philosopher to learn to know that and to understand it. And as he came, there they saw the stone was rolled away. God was there before them. And let me go back to your question. Never we see stones in our lives. Many of the time there's been stones, big stones in front of me. But God came and removed them. And this is what happens if you want to go and do service for God. God will be there before you. He will roll that stone away. He will make sure that you'll go on from strength to strength. But you have to have the faith to believe it. Just like these three women, you have to believe. This is going to be a downfall of young people and others wanting to go into the Lord's work. Because they do not go in faith, believing that God can do all things, that there is absolutely nothing impossible with God. And if you're thinking maybe going into college, or maybe doing Sunday school work, or maybe missionary work, you have to have the faith and believe that God will be there before you and that He will roll the stone away. Have faith. Believe. God knows everything that's going to happen as long as this world's here. And the same goes for the church as well. Even here in Kingston, oh, there's many big stones in front of us. We have rock not been able to get out. That is a big stone in front of us. And there's Sunday school work. There's children's work. And there's a big stone in front of us there. There's the unsaved. There's God's people right there. Oh, there's a big stone there in front of us. How can we do it? But you see, we as a congregation must have the faith to believe that God can do anything. We must believe. Believe that this visa will come for our brother Ralph, that big stone will be rolled away. God knows everything. That may tell you He's there before us. He'll prepare the way. Then we see also, let us look what the angel said. Because whenever the three women went there, the angel came. And the angel said, He is risen. He's not here. He's risen. Tell the brethren and Peter that he goeth before thee into Galilee. This is the message that the angel gave to the woman to tell the disciples. And you see, Peter's name was there. The name was there in front. He must have had a hard time I'm sure his heart was broke. I'm sure he felt terrible for denying the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not really mean to do that. Satan came in. He saw it. But then, as they went, they told them, they did not believe. And there they were, and as they were, thinking about it, only idle tales. He can't be alive. And then they were just sitting, and all of a sudden Peter gets up and he runs to the sepulchre. And that beloved disciple of Christ went with them, and he was a better runner than Peter, and he got there first. Oh, but he didn't go in, but Peter went in. And what did he see? The grave closed. Christ, truly enough, had arisen. They saw for their own eyes. Christ was risen. And they went back home to their own house. Then when he's arisen, the authorities were not pleased. And they said to the guard, remember whenever Christ came and the angel rolled away a stone, the guard were not fearful, they were not afraid that they were as dead men. They could do anything. They were just like as if they were frozen. They were dead men. And the authority said, you go and tell the people that the disciples came and stole the body at night. And they give them not just money, but they give them large sums of money to tell us. And that's what they've done. But you see, whenever the disciples went back to their homes, there was one lady, she said, Mary Magdalene. And as she looked in, she saw an angel at his feet, and an angel at his head. It just where the body was, you see, Mary, she knew exactly where the body was, for she was one of the last to see it before the stone was rolled in front of the sepulchre. And there Mary, now she was coming out of the sepulchre, she turned around and she saw this man. And this, as we read again in John chapter 19, I'll read you these. John chapter 20, I'll just read you these verses. And it's verses 15 to 17. And with this we'll be coming to an end of our teaching for this morning. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? He saw her, and she was weeping. Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And then Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And Mary recognized the way he said it, and turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus says, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. He wasn't yet glorified. And he says, touch me not in any form, in any way. I was not to be touched. And God, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, unto my God, unto your God. Oh, what a great witness Christ was alive. And how he rose again from the dead. And they were seen of his disciples, were they looking at that next Lord's death. And how he was raised up. The memory was away, and he went up to heaven. And there he is at this very moment, and he's interceding for you, Christian. He's there, and he can roll that stone away. We must have the faith. He can see him. So we must come in faith and ask him that he will lead and guide us in whatever work that he wants us to do. And as we come as a church and say in faith, Lord, what is it I want us to do? And he will. And if there's anyone not saved, and I know this is a meeting for believers, but I must always speak about Christ, that the whole purpose was to come to save the sinner. And if you're not saved this morning, in this meeting house, I don't know, or listening in on Sodom or audio, if you're not saved, you must come and realize that you're a sinner. Believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross in Calvary for your sins. Come and repent of your sins. And forsake your sins. The Holy Ghost enters in. Then you'll follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You just must come just as you are. And I do pray the Lord will bless the Christians. The Lord will bless you and encourage you and strengthen you. And know that our Savior can do all things. And have the faith and belief, because he's going before us. He is our risen Savior. Put it on sale that you will come and accept him as your own and personal Savior. Repent of your sin. Do pray that the Lord would bless the message that the God has laid on my heart for today.